So here we are at our final service in this location. Probably lots of thoughts and feelings swirling about as we go through this, and this service is intended to honor this place, the people who have made our fellowship work, and to think about the future that we have together. Let's begin by remembering that we are on the traditional territory of the Fort William First Nation, our partners under the Robinson Superior Treaty of 1850. May we be honorable partners in this agreement. In the pagan tradition, the holiday we call Halloween was called Samhain, and that was a sacred time that marked the end of the annual cycle and the beginning of a new year. It was a time when the veil between the other world and this world was thin, and so people expected to be visited by spirits, including the spirits of their ancestors. For our congregation, we are at a turning point, an end of one piece, the beginning of another in our communal life, bidding farewell to the building that has been our home for 38 years, and stepping into a future that at this moment is not entirely clear. We are on an edge, a transition point. We can look back at those who came before us with gratitude for the years that they toiled in the wilderness, meeting without a home, in the hopes of growing something greater. And indeed they did. We honor them, their vision, their courage, their persistence. This is a time to honor each other as well. Our collective efforts nourish a community of diverse thinkers with many different stories about the nature of the world and the nature of the holy. They created a place to nourish a wide variety of ways to be spiritual. We have hosted ministers, an imam, earth-centered services, Buddhist monks, First Nations artists and speakers, local musicians, local ministers and religious leaders, croning ceremonies, weddings, memorials, child dedications. We've hosted many concerts, memorial gatherings, community gatherings, a local bridge club. Our lay chaplains have solemnized milestones for many outside our fold. This place, and more importantly, our religious community, is rich with the deep and diverse ways that humans encounter the spirit of life. The spectacular, multicolored, complex stained glass windows of Gothic cathedrals have nothing on us. And somehow, the season of autumn, as the earth pulls back into herself, the vegetation that emerged in spring and summer falters and dies, our process runs parallel. Our life in this building has come to a close. Yet, just as plants maintain their life force over the winter in seeds and roots, our life force as a congregation enters a quiet time, yet it's not extinguished. Our life force is struggling in some ways. Some people left out of a big decision. Some people are not happy with the methods. Others are feeling misunderstood. I think many are worn out from the seemingly endless searching, balancing of competing wishes and needs. There are some ruptures, some hurts, questions, worries, fatigue. And the steps needed to resolve all of these things are not yet completed, nor is that our task today. We can only acknowledge that more connection, listening, and healing still needs to be done. Today, we gather for this last service in this hallowed place. May we look beyond our differences, our unmet needs, and unfinished business to jointly honor and say farewell to our current home. May we draw strength from our collective past to pick up the burdens again and keep growing. That is my hope and my invitation to each and every one of us. I'll call on David now to light the chalice for us as we consider the words by Reverend Robin F. Gray. We join our voices in a holy communion of mind and heart, dedicated to the promises that bind us in compassion one with another. In this hour, we light the flame that signals our intention to find the sacred in every living thing. I'd like to share a reading. Reverend Margaret Weiss wrote this next piece with the word church in mind, but she invites us to substitute a word that fits our own circumstances. The fellowship is not a place, it is a people. The fellowship is not only a steeple above the tree-lined streets and cars. Rather, it is a people proclaiming to the world that we are here for the work of healing and of justice. The fellowship is not walls built stone upon stone, held together by mortar, but rather person, linked with person. All ages and genders and abilities, a community built on the foundation of reason, faith, and love. The fellowship is not just a set of doors open on Sunday morning, but the commitment day after day, moment after moment, of our hearts creaking open the doors of welcome and of possibility, of new experience and radical welcome. The fellowship is not simply a building, a steeple, a pew. It is gathering together of all the people and experiences and fear and love and hope in our resilient hearts. Gathering however we can to say to the world, welcome, come in, lay down your heartache and pick up hope and love. For the fellowship is us, each and every one of us, together, a beacon of hope to this world that so sorely needs it. This is a good day to enact a ceremony adapted from Reverend Erica A. Hewitt. This ceremony is but a moment in the life of our congregation, which is a stream of living history. Our strength, our current vitality and joy comes in part from our roots, those who gave life to the congregation from its founding more than 60 years ago up until today. I'm going to invite Sandra McIver, our president, to place flowers for us as we honor our treasured members and our history. We begin by honoring the 28 different individuals who have served as president, several more than once. From the very first, Don Chase, who served in 1958 to 1960, to our current president, Sandra McIver. Presidents who have passed on, including our well-remembered and cherished Ken and Jean Morrison, Bert Blau, Shirley Broham, and those who are no longer part of our congregation, including Bob Brown and Suzanne Hansen. Let's place a flower for past presidents still with us, including Bev Lehman, Del Dickey, David Belrose, Emily Lozon, Tamara Rose, Peter Kablau, Ellen Taylor, Jim Bishop, Carol Ann Brumpton, Brooke Carfanini, Sharon Merritt. A flower of appreciation to all those members who have selflessly devoted many, many hours of their lives and their talents as clerks, administrators, board members, treasurers, bookkeepers, and those maintaining this property for us. We honor the ministers and interns who have served here, Jane Bramadat, Heather Lynn Hansen, Louise Ulrich, Julie Stoneberg, Rick Coyle, and Suzanne Wasilchuk. We honor visiting ministers, especially those who contributed many times, Francis Deverell, Karen Gustafson, Stefan Jonasson, Anne Treadwell, and other ministers and Unitarians who have visited from Rochester, England, Winnipeg, Saskatoon, Edmonton, Calgary, Duluth, the Harvard Divinity School, the Detroit area, Olinda, Ontario, London, Ontario, Montreal, and many local religious leaders, First Nations leaders, and other people active in the larger community. We honor members of the Canadian Unitarian Council who have supported and guided us through the years, through guidelines, meetings, resources, workshops, and consultations. We cannot forget the many wonderful musicians, professional and amateur, from within our midst and elsewhere, whose contributions have moved our hearts, lifted our spirits, and inspired us with their words, recruited and often accompanied by our own Heather Morrison. We honor the many people who have nurtured our children and youth in religious education classes and activities, and those who have led adult religious education. We honor and thank all the people whose efforts and inspiration have created and led the Sunday services. As a primarily lay-led organization, we have relied on the Sunday services and worship committees over the years and the members of our congregation to be a mainstay in our collective spiritual life. We honor those who have led the many social justice initiatives, the shelter house meals, the Empty Bowls Caring Hearts Project, our participation in pride services and parades, and other good works. All of this has contributed to the larger community as well. So I wonder now if anyone would like to name any other particular individuals or major contributors and contributions of projects and activities that have gone on here so that we can fill out this bouquet. I'm sure I haven't listed all of them. So if you can think of someone, please come up to the podium and we'll monitor the online folks as well. We want to make sure we don't miss anyone.
Good morning, everyone. My few remarks are intended to honor the life that has been generated within these walls of Unitarian House on the days of the week in between Sunday mornings. For these quick musings, I wear three hats. The first as a lay chaplain. As Hanusha has alluded, many members of our fellowship have celebrated or being celebrated in this room. And at the beginning of my first lay chaplaincy term in 2003, we had many people cross the border from the States for their wedding ceremonies, as Canada led the way in equal marriage rights. They were overjoyed to exchange their vows in this hall. My second hat is that of a musician. Over the years, we have hosted or rented 129 South Algoma to folk, jazz, and blues musicians. Rita Shirelli made a recording here, so great was her admiration for the sound in this room. We've had flamenco guitar and our own TBSO players, as Hanusha has said, countless times. A pre-pandemic concert was a fundraiser with Music in Common and Bill Heath. Angie, Rob, Jean, and Petica gave their all to sell the event for a packed house. Both performers and audiences have appreciated the warmth and the intimacy of this room. And finally, the third hat is that of a citizen of this community. I and we have been proud that this building has been a safe place, a haven for those who've sought it. After the École Polytechnique massacre, the vigil was held here, both inside and out on the steps. There have been Indigenous healing circles in this room. The Welcoming Congregation workshops opened their doors wide in this space and the people came. For many, it was one of the most transformational processes in their lives. AA has felt comfortable meeting in our basement here 3 times a week for countless years. A trust exists between us. The Ken Morrison Lecture Series had its beginning here when both LUFers and many other Thunder Bay folks listened to the wisdom of Hugh Walker. The lectures were held here until the attendance exceeded the capacity. I honor the joyful receptions, the potlucks, the birthday party that raised enough money to plant 13 boulevard trees, the film nights, the dance classes, the joy in this space that has allowed us to live our community mission. My heartfelt thanks to 129 South Algoma.
I had a call this morning from Chris Moss, who wanted to make sure that we acknowledged the Bridge Club that started in 1998 and ran for 14 years. So, Chris, this is for you.
Yes, Trudy, go ahead, please.
I'm remembering Pat Morgan and the social justice issue of gun control.
Heidi, go ahead, please.
Good morning. I would like to honor my mother, Marianne Wall, and other artists who have decorated the walls with their beautiful artwork, and for her contribution in making many cards and her calligraphy in the book of members, and any other people who have lent their beautiful artistic talents to this fellowship.
Michelle, go ahead, please.
I'd like to, I'd like to honor all of those who have been involved over the years in learning and exercising and practicing nonviolent communication, also known as compassionate communication. My life and time with this fellowship has been relatively short, 5 years, but I'm encouraged and moved by all of the good that has happened here. And I truly believe that what we contribute, particularly with nonviolent communication, is needed more than ever.
I would like to honor all of those builders and renovators and handymen and electrician and architects who have maintained this space for us over the years. I know my partner Bert has a lot of stories about things like removing immersion tubs from the Baptist church that was here, or from putting up the huge air vents that were in there. And I know Wayne and Bert were a very strong team at one time and maintained the space for us for a long time. There were many, many other people over the years who have formed those roles. I know Ellen Taylor was a building committee chair for a long time, and Jane Crossman certainly brought her special drive and passion. I still have one of the t-shirts that says Lakehead Unitarian Property Committee on it. And it's still a treasured item, so I thank and acknowledge all those people.
I would like to acknowledge the people who have been inspired to create original music because of and through Lakehead Unitarian Fellowship. I'm thinking first and foremost of Diane Potts and the wonderful music that she has created, and the various ways that that music has been shared and sung with children and with adults. And we have Diane's music in the front of our hymn books. I'm thinking also of Norm Sponsha. As he said at a recent service, every now and then we come up with some quirky theme and we say, "Hey Norm, sing a song that fits that." And sure enough, he comes up with something that does in fact fit that. And I'm also thinking of Patrick Horn. He played a piece for the first time in this room, I think. It was something that he had created, maybe not for us, but he felt we were the right people to hear it first. And he did create it for us. Okay, he created for us, played it first for us. So that something about us brings out that wonderful creativity in people, and it's great that we've been able to share that. So especially thank you, Diane.
Michelle?
I'd like to remember those who have a flair for decoration. And in my short time, I've particularly noted the beautiful work that Sandra McIver has done with very simple and quite elegant decorations, particularly for Christmas, which came down not so long ago. And once again, this morning, this beautiful bouquet.
I know we've mentioned her already, but I keep thinking of Peter Kablau, who had so many creative ideas and such a driving force of activism that kept us aware of our principles for social justice, our ability to offer something different and special to the children of Thunder Bay, and her joy in ceremony and outdoors. Her force has really influenced this space, and I wish you were here.
Hi, everybody. I'd like to remember two of the main folks that committed their time to the RE program downstairs when my kids were attending, which was Carla Norman, who was in the with the really young children, making sure that babies were taken care of. And my kids absolutely loved her, and they would, sit there. They'd often want to sit there with her. They'd rather be with her than in the children's program so that they could talk about books and whatever. So she was lovely and did a great job. And then Katie Hudai really revamped a lot of the RE. It was, there was a lot of children at the time that she was the RE coordinator, and she did a fantastic job, especially doing the intergenerational pen pals and parties and things like that. And the kids absolutely adored her, and she made the RE program very special for them. So I like to remember those two.
It's really a pleasure here to hear of all the activities that have taken part here, all the community building activities. And I wanted to speak of something that we do every year here. But I'm remembering way back of all our Christmas services, and I worked with on many of them, because somehow whenever Christmas rolled by, they said, "Oh, Rob will put something together." But it wasn't me who put it together. It was Jean Armstrong. Usually she'd come up with something. And I can remember the "Would you hold the baby?" Remember that? That one? And there was another one, a play where Jessica Blau was God. No, she was the devil and I was God. I'm unused to that. And as you know, So some of those those Christmas services were amazing, and the community building of them is on unparalleled. So I'm looking forward to more in the future, because I know we have it, and I know all of you out there, and you can all sing, so I'll get you in the chorus.
I'd like to honor all of the children that have come through our doors. There are many children that are now grown-ups and have played a role as a grown-up in our building. And I would like to think that those that aren't here have taken away something valuable in life. I know that my two boys have, and they cherish their time here with Katie and Megan at the time that they were here. And this is for all the children who are now grown up.
I'm following on a similar track to Emily and Sandra, and I wanted to say a particular honoring of Megan Armstrong. She worked in the RE program for a really long time. I don't know how many years, but it was Michael's growing up years. And she was pivotal in the lives of those kids. And they came, maybe they weren't that interested in what the rest of us were doing, but they came to see Megan.
Megan's a teacher because of this place. Just want you to know. I'd like to talk about the building a little bit. I'll start with the piano. When my son Josh was about 8 years old, he was taking music lessons with Wilma Eyre, whom some of you might remember. Not from here, but she taught him. And he was asked to play a little piano piece. And as a part of a children's program, I guess. And so he got up, and he was like eight, and he got up to play this little piece, and he practiced so hard for it. And one of the keys was, something was wrong with it. It was flat, like in the middle, the C or the D or one of those. And so he kept trying to play it, and he finally got through to the end of it. And he came and sat beside me, and he was really sad because he thought he had screwed up. And Heather said, actually, that key was flat and something wrong with it. Well, about 2 weeks later, we came to church. It was a new piano. And somebody who was standing down there, I forget who it was, said, that will never happen again. And he provided that piano. I think it's this one. I'm not sure. That's one thing about the building. Second thing about the building is that quilt over there. That quilt, I worked here for 15 years, and when that quilt first appeared at the Thunder Bay Art Gallery around 25 years ago, and it was there at a quilt display. And I went to see the display because I liked craft stuff. And when we got to the door of the gallery, everybody was handed a rubber glove, a plastic glove, because for that one exhibit, you could touch stuff because it was all quilts. And I looked in, and the first quilt I saw across the room of the big gallery was that one. And I just went, wow, that's my favorite one here. I kept looking at it. So I finally went over and looked to see who made it, and it was Sandra Metelnik. She made it. And so the following Sunday, I said to her, that quilt you made was my favorite one at the art gallery. And she said, well, can I donate it to the church? I went, yes. And we hung it over there underneath the maple leaf with the chalice, because the middle of it kind of resembled the shape of that. And I really loved it. Third thing about this building, and then I'll stop. Do you remember the chalices that were done in pretend stained glass that were in all the windows for many years? Well, one day, Jennifer and Bob Brown were going to be moving out of the city to down to Southern Ontario, and she came in with these plastic chalices that were like clear plastic, all colors. And she said, I made these for those windows, but I don't think anybody really wants them hung there, but I'm bringing them in just in case. And so that was like in the beginning of the summer. So these chalices were in my office upstairs for most of the summer. You know, I'd see them, they were kind of beckoning to me, I guess. And I decided I would hang them up where she wanted them, Jennifer. Not only to honor her, but because I really liked them. So I called up Wayne Hill. I said, Wayne, I need you and your ladder to come and help me. So Wayne came and he hung them all up. And then that was in August of that year. And I spent the rest of the month, because we didn't have Sunday services in the summer then, totally freaked out. People see these chalices, what are they going to do? What are they going to say? Oh my gosh, I'm probably in such big trouble. Oh geez. And I thought, well, okay. So I, that's that first Sunday morning after Labor Day, we, people started coming in, and the first thing they saw were the chalices hanging all around, the sun coming through and all that. And they loved them. They just loved them. And they said, these are beautiful. I didn't hear one negative thing about them. And they said, where did they come from? And I said, Jennifer Brown left them with us. Wow, how did they get up there? Wayne Hill glued them up there with crazy glue or something, I don't know. And I was so relieved because I didn't know how they were gonna be taken, and they were. And they hung here for many years until they started like, all plastic does start to kind of fall off, and then they are immediately, after 20 or more years, they were taken down. Well, thanks, Wayne.
Two more things, I'm getting warmed up. Do you remember the Unitarian Universalist recorder players? Remember that, when was that? I don't know, it's 20, 25 years ago. We actually started a bunch of recorder players here. And yes, they are forgotten, maybe for good reason. And the other thing was my wonderful activity that I was privileged to take part in was supporting the YRUU in its, well, latter heyday. I wasn't here for the beginning when, say, Bruce Lehman was in it. Right, there's a whole momentum of people at that time. And then it dwindled for a while, or even disappeared. But then we started it up around 1997 to 2000. Somehow all the planets were in alignment, and we had all these young people that wanted to do YRUU. And we did wonderful things and took them to different conferences. And so that was great, a great memory. And we know those people are doing great things in the community today.
With my CUC hat on, Canadian Unitarian Council, I want to acknowledge all those people who have stepped outside these walls to invite the country to Thunder Bay. I don't know how many occasions it was, but I do know that Bob Manson nearly killed him, but he he was the last one to lead a national conference for us here in Thunder Bay in 2009. Okay, so to all those people who have reached out and beyond to welcome the country and the larger gathering of Unitarians, we thank you. Bob is one, Pedica is one. I'm sure Rosemary was in on this. I'm sure Heather was, and Bev and Jean and all kinds of people have been about doing that, which is no small undertaking, I have to tell you. Always the May long weekend, and the last one we had in Thunder Bay, it snowed.
I'd like to honor Del Dickey, who has kept our archives for many, many years. So anything that LUF was involved with in Thunder Bay, any letters to the editor about important details of our communal life, that Lufers submitted. Dell was on top of that, and I think we still have those archives somewhere, but that was an important thing to hang on to for us. I would also like to honor Dell and Ed Prinsler, who were mainstays of the Sunday Services and Worship Committee for many, many years. They kept us on the straight and narrow, made sure that we were on top of the important spiritual issues and not just filling in Sundays. Oh my God, who are we going to get to speak that Sunday? I don't know. But kept us focused on what are the important issues? What is it that we need to do for our fellowship? What is needed here? Challenged us sometimes, but always gave their whole hearts. So thank you, Ed, and thank you, Dell, for that. Anyone online would like to contribute? Doesn't look like any other contributions from the floor this morning. Chris.
Dal Dickey and Carol Brumpton were very active with the cellist circles. And if it wasn't for the cellist circle they belonged to, and we used to meet in the room, we met in people's living rooms, and then Dal arranged for us to meet in the common room in her building. And it sort of died off after both ladies sort of got into other things, and we're no longer the driving force for that. We tried. I'm still working on getting another cellist circle going, but I got to know so many people in this congregation with small groups, and it's very important, I believe, that it be continued. That's all.
Thank you, everyone who contributed. As I alluded to at the beginning, we have a rich, rich history here. So lend your memories to our ceremony of honor. And as we balance between our past and future, the roots that gave this congregation life and the story that we have yet to write, may we know ourselves not only as a people of joy and gratitude, but also as a people of memory and a people of honor. Roots, hold me close. Wings, set me free. So may it be. Brenda Diebel will now lead us in a litany of thanksgiving, and Michelle will lead us in the response, which is, we give you thanks, O source of all.
Okay, I believe we'll get the words up, but if not, it's, we give you thanks, O source of all, and please join Michelle in that. Blessed the divine spark that makes all things possible, our human capacity to understand, to envision, to question, to dream anew. Such characteristics were the very foundation of Unitarian Universalism.
We give you thanks, O source of all.
As generations have prayed their prayers and sung their hopes here, your spirit has blessed countless worshipers, members, friends, and visitors.
Together, we give you thanks, O source of all.
We have celebrated beginnings, heard the promises of those newly united to cherish and support. Wipe the tears loved ones grieving, those who have departed this life. Thus have we acknowledged the seasons of our lives and been nurtured by these rituals through our journey in faith.
Together, we give you thanks, O source of all.
From within these walls, many have gone out to serve the community, living the message of love, being the hands of God and of goodness in the world. We honor those who founded and supported the AIDS Committee before they had their own home, our role with Shelter House, Empty Bowls Caring Hearts, highway cleanups, and many more good works.
Together, we give you thanks, O source of all.
We have blessed each other, inspiring services, music shared, projects completed, creativity shared, challenges lovingly made, and perspectives widened. We have been both seeker and the well in this congregation, rich with possibility.
Together, we give you thanks, O source of all.
As we go now from this house into a further journey of faith, we put into our satchels the lessons we have learned from sermons, speakers, and readings. We cloak ourselves in the many shared stories, the smiles, the tears that opened our hearts to each other. We fill our hearts with the strength and resilience of our founders, the clergy who have ministered to us, and all our leaders whose examples we would be proud to follow.
Together, we give thanks, O source of all.
So actually, I will ask you to remain standing, those of us in the building. And those of you at home, if you like, you can stand as well and use your imaginations to think about each of the directions that we will be facing. I'm just going to switch microphones. So we are going to face each of the main walls in our building as we say farewell to them. And I will be inviting you to extend a hand in that direction. As we face the east wall, how many times have we faced that beautiful wooden surface and gazed at the image of our chalice and flame? May it always be central in our hearts. Recall all the vats of soup, the homemade treats that have paraded through that back door to create many a feast for us. Taking the time, the image and the energy of that, bring your hand to your heart. Take that all in and keep it in a special place in your memory. Breathe it in and breathe out some of the sorrow. Facing now the south wall, let us bask in the warm, inviting light of that sun that has streamed into those windows upon us for all these years. Gaze at that beautiful quilt donated to us by Sandra. Recall the handwritten sheets that graced that back wall, recording offerings of talents, handmade goodies, and various activities at our many service auctions. All the talent and generosity of our members on display. Extend your hand, scoop up that goodness, and bring it into your heart to hold for many years to come. Breathe it into your body. And breathe out some of the grief. Facing now the west wall and our entrance, we recall the people who have found their way to our door, some on purpose, some on the recommendation of others, some quite by accident. All contributed to our rich history. We recall the special quilt donated by Peggy Tripp Hill that used to hang above the door there, the one with the beautiful trees, as a reminder of the love of forests and of our place in the interdependent web of existence. Let us enter now into a new time, a time of transition, of new beginnings still stirring in our collective womb. Extend your hand to capture the memories of our beginnings. Pull that into our hearts and let the energy propel us forward into the future. And breathe out a goodbye. And facing now our north wall, so many entrancing, thoughtful, knowledgeable speakers and sermons have come from this direction. So many varied and delightful works of art have spoken to us over the years. We recall the many Christmas trees found and decorated by loving hands, the maypole, the shared waters and flowers of our ceremonies, the music that has wafted over us from this side of the room, filling our ears and our hearts. Take and hold all of that talent and goodness. Fill the pockets of your heart with it for the journey ahead of us. Breathe in the richness. And breathe out the unease. And once more, a full circle, taking in the office upstairs, the RE rooms downstairs. We bless this entire place and take with us all of the goodness that we have generated here for each other. As we extinguish the chalice and today's candles, may this prayer by Reverend Ashley Horan enter our hearts. You are loved beyond belief. You are enough. You are precious. Your work and your life matter, and you are not alone. You are part of a we, a great cloud of witnesses, living and dead, who have insisted that this beautiful broken world of ours is a blessing worthy of both deep gratitude and fierce protection. Our ancestors and our descendants are beckoning us, compelling us onward toward greater connection, greater compassion, greater commitment to one another and to the earth. Together, we are resilient and resourceful enough to say yes to that call, to make it our life's work in 1,000 different ways, knowing that we can do no other than bind ourselves more tightly together and throw ourselves into the holy work of showing up again and again to be part of building that world of which we dream, but which we have not yet seen. Our closing music is a special piece of music for us, created by Diane Potts. We're going to sing it together through twice. The words will appear in a moment as soon as PowerPoint decides to cooperate. We really do need a new laptop, and it's on our wish list. It's going to take a moment before the words decide to come up, so we can stand in the meantime. Diane, are you going to play it through once for us? It'll come. It just the computer is slow. And sometimes it freezes. There we go. Okay, stand as you're willing and able.
Come share.